The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Testing.
Listen, fucking to hit this thing one more time with my arm. I'm punching my own face.
Dude, we should do like the most stereotypical.
Hey, this is my turn to talk right now.
Fuck. All right, my bad.
See, you guys, Doug, they're always trying to fuck up my voice, bro.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, we're always trying to interrupt you, not the other way around.
You know what? You never get your point across. I feel so bad for you.
Hey,
if you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump with your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome to Mind Pump. This is Adam Schaefer.
Is that really your whisper, dude?
This is my...
He's still trying to be the sultriest one on the bunch.
No, this is Adam Schaefer.
What the fuck, dude?
Mind Pump Radio. I'm here with Sal DiStefano.
Sal, these nuts in my face, DiStefano.
Oh, bro, you lose already. You laughed already, dude.
I can't.
You're fucking terrible.
Adam loves sex with your mom, Schaefer.
So wait, listen. Sal's like a little girl. He starts giggling.
Justin, fucking saying the most awesome shit.
It is you,
Andrews.
All right.
Justin, you should always talk in a whisper.
And fucking Doug Wilson.
Bro, I feel like I'm being molested. Stop. That's enough.
Welcome to Mind Pump Radio.
I'm good at creepy shit.
You know what? We just creeped everybody out.
No, I'm very because
if I felt
it.
Creeped out,
well, tell them what we did.
And I'm used to you guys whispering.
We were trying to see who would break first.
It was me.
Sal didn't even
I was fucking laughing before we even fired it up.
30
dude.
Seconds, dude.
Oh man,
I can't handle it.
What are we talking about?
It's
today?
Too funny.
We're
answering questions, dude.
Ooh, Q&A. Love
question it.
It's not TNA, it's Q&A. Here at Mind Pump.
Almost as awesome, but totally not.
I feel like we came full circle. You know what's maybe this naturally just happens that this is why our listeners are so awesome, because for a while we were getting nothing fitness related and all these random stuff. And
then they go in ebbs and flows.
It does.
Just like us.
And so maybe we should. I know we tried to fight it Doug was trying to organize last week
for us.
Yeah, I think they just did determine. I think last week there was just a lot of shit on people's mind.
You like that little jab at Doug that Adam slides in there? He's like, you know, Doug's always trying to tell us what to do, but you know, he doesn't have to.
Captain Maestro over here always trying to dictate everything.
Yeah. He puts the dick in dictate.
He does.
Absolutely does. Well, let's kick this motherfucker off. What do we got first?
Let's start with
kick out the jam, motherfucker.
Ding. Dang, bro. You went far with that. All right, so
I'm ready.
Let's start with this question is from the Barrett Teeter. Barrett Teeter.
So can you see that fast? It's
the Barrett Teeter.
There's a lot of
T's in there.
Yeah.
His question
is
on the necessity of flexibility with weightlifting or with working out with weights. So I'm gonna let me finish here. I'm gonna start with the word necessity.
Hold on a second.
So is flexibility important? Yes. Is it necessary?
No.
I provide Exhibit A, Adam Schaefer.
What a dick.
Evidence,
dude.
That it is not necessary at all.
Oh, yeah. You can walk around and not scratch.
I was
going
to go last, but now I have to defend myself since you started off with fucking the jab. So
Adam puts his shoes on. He like sits on the floor, lays back, puts his foot up, has a long stick with a little hook on it, and then ties his shoe because he can't reach his feet.
So... This is I like this question. It was I voted on having this question.
Nimble.
Because here I think I'm a great example. Before I got into competing, I was very consistent with my flexibility, and I shouldn't say I was a huge stretcher, but what I did do was I incorporated dynamic flexibility at least once a week in my routine. If I didn't do a full body dynamic flexibility or every workout, I would have at least one exercise that was dynamic flexibility. So that's how I always remain flexible. And or if I found myself, let's say I was training in like our phase one, and I felt myself after I get through phase one, I was just really stiff and tight from lifting a lot of heavy weight. I might take a week of doing nothing but dynamic flexibility and, you know, calisthenics and things like that to really, really work on my flexibility. A lot of foam rolling, getting a lot of massages. So that's another thing too. I used to be very religious about my massages. I used to get massages anywhere between 1 to 3 times per week. So things like this were huge in my flexibility game. Now, when I decided to get into competing and became so aesthetic driven, I've only got so much damn time. So those that haven't figured this out yet, I'm not like your average pro. Okay. A majority of these pros that I compete against,
not your average bear.
I'm not at all. The average pro, that especially the average successful pro, this is pretty much what he fucking does all the time. You know what I'm saying? His job is to work out and make videos, and most of them are sponsored and they have people that are making the videos for him and doing all this stuff, and they live in the fucking gym. If I was spending 2 to 3 hours in the gym every day, I could do both. I could train to be a men's physique athlete, and I could also be the super flexible guy and in great overall shape. Unfortunately, I have prioritized my time and training for, you know, primarily hypertrophy, for primarily shaping and sculpting my body and not taking care of it. Now, mind you, many times I don't have a choice. Sometimes I'm in so much pain because I've been neglecting stretching and taking care of myself that I got to take it out. In fact, shit, just 3 nights ago, my elbow was in a fucking ice bucket all night long because
you get that, right? You get the elbow deal a lot.
I do have golfer's elbow. I do. And a lot of that
otherwise
is
otherwise known as jerker's elbow.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And what that is, if you actually like flex or extend your ring finger, you'll feel those muscles that run all the way down to your elbow is like overused and gets inflamed and swollen, and it hurts like a motherfucker.
Well, yeah, then you can't pull.
Yeah, I haven't done pull-ups in almost 2 years because of it.
Really?
And yeah.
So I think what people need to realize, you know, for some people, flexibility, regular flexibility training is probably close to necessary, but flexibility is highly genetic. There's people that never worked out. They'll come into the gym,
yeah,
and they're weak, but they're super flexible and they've never done anything
because of the position of their joints. And
well, there's the elasticity of their muscles, and it's just a lot of it's genetic. For me, I need to do it because I'm naturally tight. But let's also not forget this: proper resistance training, full range of motion, proper resistance training,
it places you into flexibility.
It will. It'll maintain a reasonable amount of flexibility for everyday life.
But
not for like sports and stuff like that. But if you're a gym rat and you want to be buffed in the gym and you do good full range of motion, smart working out, and you have a desk job, you'll probably never have issues with flexibility because full range of motion, resistance training, you need to have a certain amount of flexibility to be able to, like, to do a full squat. There's a certain level of flexibility.
Well, here's the deal. Okay. This question, it, you know, if you're just looking at it from the perspective of aesthetic and trying to get, you know, hypertrophied out and be as presenting as far as like looks wise as you can go, yeah, it's probably not high in the totem pole. Sports is completely different. I honestly, in order to maintain the types of movement that you're going to produce and get the responsiveness out of the muscle, you know, you need to be able to, and flexibility doesn't mean that you're just sitting there and you're holding a stretch, right? I mean, like Adam said, it's dynamic stretches. It's also, you know, the myofascial release. It's all these things that help to inhibit like the movement to really help you move properly and, you know, be able to maintain that and for the long periods of all the stress too. So it's a great combatant to a lot of high intensity workouts and things that you're going through as far as like performance goes. So, you know, yeah, you know, maybe it's like, I know runners that don't stretch at all, right?
Yeah.
You know, so there's that aspect to it. So you do get, you know, that muscle tension, it's optimal in a specific length. It's not like I'm trying to lengthen that out further and do yoga.
Yeah, for what you're doing, there's an optimal.
You know, enhance my performance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's maintaining that level of length tension that is optimal. So sports, you really got to focus down what those lengths are.
What that means.
Yeah, what the main contributors are, you know, focus on those. And then everything else you do have to lengthen out, you know, in order to allow that to you know, respond the way you want it to. So it's a little bit different.
Give a good, because that's a very great point. And I'm trying to think while you're talking right now, a good example of that with a sport.
Well, like hip flexors, for instance. I mean, you know, that's something I'm always stretching.
you know, because I'm shortening those out like constantly, running and jumping and responding and moving in different planes. And, you know, anytime that gets really tight and restrictive, it's going to throw off my lumbopelvic hip. I'm not going to be as mobile as I need to be. And so, you know, especially when I was doing Muay Thai and I'm trying to like get a specific range of motion out of my leg, impossible if you're not stretching those muscles out, you know, to enhance that range of motion to pick my leg up higher and strike. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on what you're doing.
Wouldn't you say too, training athletes or training someone for a sport, that's probably the number one probably thing that you address with almost everybody, wouldn't you say? I would think hip flexors are commonly short.
It's very common. That's why I brought that up. It's one of my
That's why I think it's a great point. It's another great point is the, you know, that we sit at our desk or we sit in cars and, you know, our hip flexors are in a contracted position probably 80% of the time that we're throughout our day. So I'm sure that's probably something you have to take most all athletes through.
Well, the one thing that I do before every single full body workout is I foam roll. Mm-hmm. And I if I have time, I spend 10 to 15 minutes doing some stretching, but I foam roll before every single workout just because I like to train heavy and I like to push myself, and I want to do everything I can to minimize the risk of injury, because I know if I'm lifting a heavy weight for my body and I'm a little tight, it's going to throw my form off a little bit. Injury potential becomes high.
I should say too that because I did say that you know, we're teasing me about not. I have to. I squat 3 times a week, so 3 times a week I am foam rolling and stretching my lower half. I have to.
Oh yeah, you can't. Otherwise, your workout you can't.
Yeah, right? I can't squat. I can't squat properly unless I foam roll and stretch before I do, and it takes me about 10-15 minutes before. And
now, what do you roll? Do you do the typical piriformis IT band?
My things I roll. So I roll my piriformis, my IT, and my glutes, and my abductors and adductors. So those are my primary focuses on. That opens me up. I'll even straddle the foam roller and get my hip flexor a little bit. But most of my stretches that I'll do are targeted towards my hip flexors and opening my hips up. So then when I do I do foam rolling first, all those areas I just said, and then I'll do, I'll go through about 4 different major stretches that will open up my hips.
So here's my order. So I always start off, I'll do piriformis, then I go to, and I do piriformis both sides, IT band both sides. Then I go teres major and minor, so right under the armpit, arm stretched over the foam roller, because I do a lot of heavy pulling and pull-ups, and that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Then I do the thoracic, where I roll my thoracic spine over the foam roller, so it's like across my body, my arms are crossed, and I can feel things, you know, pop, you know, up and down.
It's like a little adjustment.
And then I go on and I do some dynamic quad ham hip and then low back twisting stretches. Mm-hmm. And then I'm done. That's usually my warm up. And it takes me, if I have the time, I take a full 30 minutes. So what I'll do is I'll take my pre-workout at the beginning of that. By the time I'm done with all my foam rolling and stretching, my pre-workout has kicked in and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Yeah.
And if, you know, I'm good. But yeah, I'll tell you what, man, for the first, you know, throughout my 20s, a warm up for me was a set with lightweight.
Oh yeah, exactly.
That was my warm up. I'm done.
That was until I was 30.
I know. Now it's progressed, right? It starts as the foam roller, and then it moves to this harder surface like a PVC pipe, and now I'm on to like the lacrosse ball. So
I love the lacrosse ball.
My interior delt. I'm rolling that. I'm getting my piriformis. Like if you sit right on there, oh my god, it lights it up.
Oh yeah.
I got one of those. My foam roll is knobbed ones. Have you done that yet? Oh.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I bought a vibrating foam roller?
What? Yeah, and then it got lost in your butt.
Yep.
Yeah.
No. So this is a true story, dude.
Crazy. Dr. Mind Pump found it.
Yeah.
Right?
No. This is not it. So check this out. So
there's such a thing.
And I'm gonna just put these people on blast because I'm still completely irritated about this. So I went on PerformBetter.com, which sells normally great personal training equipment.
Right.
And I needed to buy a foam roller. And I see this one and it says it vibrates and it helps, you know, break up adhesions better. Theoretically, it kind of makes sense, right? If you have something that vibrates real hard.
Shame on you. You got sold on that. Shame on you.
Well, bro. So it was like a half foam roller and it vibrated. And you look at the picture and it didn't show anything. It just showed the foam roller.
It's like the toothbrush that vibrates, bro.
Bro. You're telling me this. Bro. Yeah. So I buy this fucking thing. And when you get it, it's the black, you know, the black hard foam rollers, but it's a half size.
Right.
On the end of it is like a little white like sticking out kind of knob that you turn and it makes it vibrate. And it's fucking weak. Like you turn it on and you get on. I'm like, what a waste of $40.
I know this is gone.
Anyway, I left it in the gym in the corner. And I would just use it as a regular foam roller. I never turned on the vibrating part because it was bullshit. I'm training a lady and she's got her son in there.
She recognized what it was.
Bro.
Yeah.
The three-year-old is playing with the foam roller because, you know, if you have a personal training studio and kids go in there, it's like a freaking playland for them. So he's playing with everything. He picks this thing up, and I don't know what he's doing, but he's pulling the knob part of the foam roller, the part that vibrates, and he pulls out, I swear, on everything I love.
It was a dildo.
It was a white. You ever remember those old ad commercials in, like, magazines in the back, and it's like an old hard plastic vibrator and the woman's holding it up to her neck and she's like, massage my neck.
Yeah, I knew it.
Because you know those old Cognito ads.
What the hell, man?
Where they're selling like it's a neck massager, but you know very well it's a fucking vibrator, right? That's what was inside
Mommy!
The foam roller.
No way.
I swear. It was a hard, white, tapered at the end, 1960s freaking vibrator.
Well, I mean, what else are we going to do with it?
So
you don't want to put it in the landfill.
Bro, so I call Perform Better. I want a refund. They're like, why? And I'm like, because you assholes.
Because of your 1930s dildo.
This is what I said. I said, you guys obviously bought a cache of cheap ass vibrators and decided to make $40 off of a piece of shit and stick it in there. I want my money back. One of my client's kids pulled out the freaking vibrator and I sent them a picture of it and they refunded me right away.
No way they did.
Right away.
Because they knew, bro.
Hey, you take a picture of it. It's a fucking why'd you give me a vibrator? I don't want a vibrator. I wanted a freaking, if I got to get a vibrator, I'm not going to get that piece of shit.
That
I'm going to buy a good
one.
That is
such a great story.
Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, if they would have hit it better, you would never known.
Bro, yeah. Embarrassing. So my client's like, why is my, because she didn't know. So the freaking three-year-old, the three-year-old walks in the room and he's holding a vibrator.
Oh, dude.
And her face dropped.
This is what we need to ask women when they come on, because I guarantee that's happened to more than one, you know, lady.
Dude.
They, like, their kid has found their little stash.
But, bro, the worst part was it wasn't her. She knew it had to do with, it was either mine or it was in the gym. So he's walking back with his vibrator. She's looking at me like, where the hell did he get that, Sal?
Right.
What am I going to, you know what I mean? I'm like, I swear to God. It was in this. I showed her the brochure. I put it back inside the foam roller to show her.
Have to explain yourself.
I didn't leave my freaking vibrator here.
Sorry.
Oh my God, dude.
Okay,
next question. That's gnarly. Next question.
So this is from, let's see, which one should we ask here next?
Go in order.
Should we do the fun one, the non-fitness one?
Go in order. Man.
All right. This one's from Jay Battiato. He's obviously Italian, my bro. His question is it possible to fix metabolic damage from years of basically extreme dieting and improper exercise?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Our metabolism is free-flowing, so it's ever-changing. It's not like people think that, I have this slow metabolism, and so let's just use hypothetical numbers. So maybe a slow metabolism only burns 1,000 calories a day, okay, let's say, or 1,500 is probably more realistic.
Yeah, I was about to say.
So, you say 1,500 calories is your slow metabolism, right? Well, it's not 1,500 calories or 1,500 calories every single day. You know, one day it's 1,600, another day it's 1,300, 1,200, and it has everything to do with what's going on in your lifestyle, stress, your working out, like how you're eating, you know, all these things play a role. You know, we talk about the large meals you eat causes a thermogenic effect when you consume. We know that when you lift weights, it creates, you know, this anabolic environment. All these things play a role in your metabolism. And so your day-to-day is always changing. So that being said, this is something that we can manipulate and better. But when you've done damage for a very long time, you got to keep in mind that, you know, for a long time you've been fucking it up. So putting together 1 or 2 weeks of consistency is not going to be enough to rebound you from a terrible metabolism to a roaring metabolism that you can eat anything you want and stay lean. So it takes time. It takes time, and it's a slow process of slowly. It's similar to what we're going through right now with, you know, when we get to the next episode and we talk about my reverse diet. You know, I don't know. Does this come out first or second?
This will come out first.
This comes out. Okay. So you guys will hear the reverse diet thing afterwards that I go through, which is, in a sense, and now I don't have a long-term metabolic damage that I've done to myself, but I've slowed my metabolism down over the last month and a half, because for 4 weeks there, I was every single week reducing my caloric intake while I was increasing my expenditure. So I'm pushing the body further, giving it less food, and in turn, fucking my metabolism up. Now, mind you, I only do that for a short period of time. And the idea is that I can rebound from that and get myself back up to normal in the next, you know, 4 to 8 weeks and be my normal self. But, you know, for somebody who's been damaging it for a long, long, long time, that process is a little bit longer. But it's the same concept of what I go through right now.
Well, you can think of it this way. When you think of metabolic damage and repairing it, when we say the word metabolism, I think people start to think immediately, I need to work out real hard. I need to do all these different things to speed up my metabolism. Here's if you think of it in this term, you'll be more successful, okay? The way you correct metabolic damage, or the way you fix metabolic damage, is by becoming healthy. So your focus should be on your health. Right. Your focus should not be on speeding up your metabolism.
Good point.
Because I think when people think, I need to speed up my metabolism, they think in terms of like work, what they're going to do with their workout.
How many meals they can get in.
Well, and that's actually...
That's where that whole thing came from. Yeah. The 6 meals.
Yeah, so
meals.
It's about the opposite
when you think of it like that.
Yeah, you got to become healthy. So,
and internally, and so that's why the whole foods and
right. So focus on
build up your immunity,
all that stuff. So like I had a client who, and I've talked about her before, but she's such a great example. She had a battle with cancer. She won the battle, you know, did all this chemo, had done this real low dieting, you know, low calorie dieting for so long that when she came to me, you know, her metabolism was so slow that anything over 1200 calories, she would gain weight, and she couldn't get away with even a day. She would do that for one day and she'd gain weight and she would stay on for weeks. So the key really wasn't about, you know, burning all the calories. It was about making her healthy. And so what was the step process? Well, step number one, without even changing her diet or anything, make her stronger. Step number two, you know, picking healthier foods, not changing calories, just healthier foods. Step number three, eliminating food intolerances. Mm-hmm. Step number four, eliminating artificial sweeteners, which she used to be heavy on. Eliminate sugar. And so over the course of a year, her metabolism repaired itself, but it's really because she became healthy. And so that's what you got to think about, Jay, whatever your name is. What you got to think about is, I got to become healthy. So don't worry about losing weight right now. Don't worry about it. That'll happen anyways, that'll happen secondary. I want you to think about, how can I make myself healthy? What foods make me healthy? What activities make me healthy? If you think in those terms, you will get there. And it does take time. But if you think in those terms, it's not going to feel like it's such a long time as if you were thinking, I need to speed up my metabolism. Because then it feels like it takes forever.
Yeah, so, that's a great point. Very good point. Because immediately, like, metabolism, I tend to think of, like, some clients that come in, they have, like, hypothyroidism. And they have like these other ailments, you know, that are really, you know, disrupting the process for them to, you know, have a healthy, thriving metabolism. But yeah, you're right. It's really just about like getting to that point where your body is able to heal itself and recover and, you know, produce, you know, a higher functioning system.
Yeah. When you meet someone who has metabolic damage, they will typically have low energy, sleeping patterns disrupted. Sometimes they'll have emotional or issues due to the changes in their hormones or chemicals because of the metabolic damage, low energy, food, you know, issues with food that they're completely unaware of. You know, it's funny because I'll take out a food, you know, I'll correct someone's food intolerance and all of a sudden they'll be like, I didn't realize how gassy I used to be.
Yeah.
You know, something like, I didn't realize I used to have gas all the time. I thought that was just the way I was, but it was because I had this food intolerance. And once I eliminated that, now I can tell.
Or the fact that you're eating so much.
Right.
You know, you're eating in this surplus constantly. We talked about that because it's like, if you've never done it where you've consistently stayed in a deficit, you don't know the difference.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So no,
that's a very good, no, that's a great point. And very similar. I mean, I also, you know, none of us touched on cardio and stuff, but it piggybacks off of what the great point that Sal brought up is that it's just about being healthier. The first thing I do with someone like this, I get clients like this a lot, actually, just because I deal with competitors and things like that.
Well, I think probably more than anything, we get clients that have been with other trainers and they finally come to us and it's like, they've been fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually, first thing I do is cut cardio out. And that's, they normally freak out. They're like, what? I'm like 100 pounds overweight. And you want me to stop doing all this crazy cardio I was doing? I'm like, yeah. Because all that just goes to show that it's not about something you can work your way out of. Having metabolic damage is not something you can
That's why I wanted to say health, because people try to work out of it.
That's why it was great that you said that following after what I was talking about, because that was a much better way to say that is that, because when you started listening to Steps Off, I'm like, that's exactly what I do. You know, it's exactly what I do is I shut down everything that's crazy that they're doing, you know, as far as extremes of anything. And cardio for sure is normally one of those things that someone who's really overweight has been trying to pound away at to fix. and say, listen, we're going to do this all healthy and nutritionally first. Let's get you balanced out. And then, you know, our goal is like 30 days from now to be doing zero cardio and you not put any weight on and you're eating just as much food, if not more food. And just like you said,
and better. That's a victory.
Yeah, that's huge victory. You know, and we're already on our way of heading back to fixing this metabolism, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Another symptom that you'll see, and I see this more with women than men, is they have very wide fluctuations in water retention.
Yes.
That's a great sign that, you know, we've had some metabolic damage. You know, where someone will come to me and be like, I don't know why, I'll just gain 5 pounds and then it goes away. Nothing changes. And it's like, okay, we're dealing with some issues here. And in order to fix that, we got to get healthy. You can't just burn the shit out of your body and think that that's going to fix, because it won't. It'll get worse.
Yeah. You got to remember that when your metabolism that low and you're pushing the body, our bodies are very smart. And you, it's what you're doing to that is when you're working out, it's a stress, right? We're putting short-term stress on our body. So if you're putting this short-term stress on your body, what makes the body adapt and do things is to try and figure that out, to counter it, to try and to become efficient, you know? And if you're not giving it very much nutrients and you're pushing it really hard, it tries to learn how to be efficient off of nothing.
It's trying to stay alive.
Yeah, it's trying to survive. It's like, okay, she or he is not giving me shit nutritionally and is pounding my body every day. Okay, we have to learn to become efficient at only getting this much. And that's why you're shooting yourself in the foot. So, you know, great point Sal brings up. And Justin, I think that was a great answer to that. Hopefully that helps out. If you're not tuning in and listening to the reverse diet part and follow me on Periscope, you know, these are things I'm talking about right now because I'm kind of coming through that. Obviously not as extreme to somebody who's been damaged for a long, long time, but, you know, similar concept.
All right. So next question is from Mitchell Cochran.
Or as we like to call him, Mitchell Cochring.
Cockring, his question.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
By the way, you might be wondering why we sound so awesome right now. Doug just upgraded some of our equipment a little bit. It sounds great.
I don't know if they hear us better.
Oh, we sound fantastic.
They can't tell?
They can't tell.
We can tell.
You're an idiot.
Oh, never mind. You might be wondering why I said that.
Well, you know what? Maybe they upgraded and all bought Beats headphones over the weekend or something.
It just means you could hear yourself better.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Now I look like an asshole again. All right, so
awesome.
Fuck. All right, so Mitchell Cochring wants to know, when is Mind Pump going to come out with supplements?
Fuck.
Well, here's the deal.
We have too much shit to do.
Here's the deal. you guys know, you guys listen to us, and you know that what our feelings are on most supplements. So here's the problem. If we come out with a supplement, number one, it's not going to be bullshit. So that means it's going to take a lot longer because we could just come out with some shit and just throw stuff together.
That's what we've cornered ourselves into.
And put them we're fucked. God damn it. We could throw a shitload of stimulants in something. And trust me, I know how to put chemicals together, legal chemicals.
Oh, I know.
Fly. And we'll sell some.
But I've had some of his. They're crazy.
Yeah. You don't, it's, number one, it won't be bullshit. Number two, we want to be very closely tied to the quality control. We do not want to sell something that we think has something in it and then find out later that our reputation is ruined because, you know, it's processed in China and there's lead in there and now people are whatever. Or it doesn't have any active ingredient or, you know, stuff like that. So we have to be behind it 100%. It has to work. And lastly, I'm not going to sell you something that's already out there. We want to sell you something different. If we're going to sell you a supplement, there's going to be something in it in combination with something else that's good that we feel is revolutionary.
That's not true.
Why not?
That's not true. I would still sell you what I think is one of the purest, best brands or branched chain amino acids or creatine or things that are already proven that are great.
Yeah,
great supplements
but we're going to do it.
Why have our mind pumpers go somewhere and order their shit somewhere else when they can get, you know, something that.
But here's what I'm saying. If we do it that way, it's going to have something else in it that makes it more effective or. That's not our first supplement. That's not the first thing we come out with. We're like, hey, here's branched amino acids. We might come out with a recovery matrix. I'm just throwing this out there.
Yeah, I don't think Sal should say anything for sure because we don't know.
So. we don't.
Because there is a very
Let's
good chance.
Let's brainstorm right now.
Yeah, we are. I mean, that's what we're about.
Hey, man, we're including
the
audience.
We'll keep it real, yeah. So I'm about to debate him here on this because I don't think that's true. I think there is a chance that we may come across a supplement company who has a very good protein powder or a great branched chain amino acid that we are firm believers in. We can be close to what they're doing. And then we would would support it and put it out there. Now, would we love to come out with, you know, putting our pre-workout together of all the raw ingredients that we actually utilize and branding it as Mind Pumps pre-workout and then selling that to everybody?
Yes.
Yes, that would be awesome. Will that happen first? Sal thinks so. I don't think so.
I think
there's more likely a chance that because.
Oh, you mean a supplement company come out and we partner with them?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, but we would. You can't tell me we wouldn't be part of.
I'm not saying that. You just made it sound like we're not going to fucking come out with something unless it's the fucking most original supplement ever first. Yeah. I mean, there's the chance.
I'm hard to impress. I mean, I'm it's going to be very difficult for me to push anything.
I know
that doesn't give me.
And I believe that I believe that it's something that we would keep our integrity about 100%. I just think that right now our primary focus is on upgrading this forum, getting the books out that we're trying to finish the content providing an even better service virtually online for our people, so they feel like they get these fucking top notch trainers they feel like they're getting trained by us for virtually nothing. Thing that to me is my number one goal and focus for Mind Pump and what we're doing, and I feel like that's all of ours. The supplement thing I think is coming, and I think that, you know, there's a very good chance that we could either one align with a company that, if you guys don't know this, we've had several companies come after us and we don't talk about this on Mind Pump because I kind of shot myself in the foot as a Instagram guy because I used to get these guys all the time too, and I talk so much shit about supplements nobody wanted to talk to us anymore.
Well,
so.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. These supplements, and we don't want
to. We're playing hard to get.
We don't want to put anybody on blast. Okay, but a supplement company will come at us and they'll say, you know, we got these supplements, promote them. We'll give you this percentage, or whatever, and they're good deals. Here's the problem, though. If I look at their protein powder and it's flavored by sucralose, or if I look at their product and it's something that I wouldn't take myself, we're not going to sell it, number one. Number two, we've already talked shit about it, so it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, say what you will. When we come out with our – basically, in a nutshell, when we come out with our product – we're going to believe in it. I mean, that's in a nutshell what
I'm saying. When it's our product, when it's fucking labeled with our Mind Pump on it, I agree with you. But I still, like, I'm a firm believer. There's supplement companies out there that I like a lot of their stuff. Do I agree with all their stuff? No. You know, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't represent, like, hey, they have this, 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 and this. I firmly...
But they would have to impress us.
Yeah, of course. You know, obviously, we're little bee snatches like that we have these super high standards. We have these ultra high standards, like we're a bunch of fucking snobby bitches. Let anybody in. Like, you know, we're not going to let Shreds come in here and fucking partner up with us or anything. No. So, but I mean, I think it's important that our listeners know that 100% this is a direction we're going. I hope you guys appreciate, though, that our first focus is on other things. I feel like right now you guys could get out there and get supplements and utilize the information we're giving you. And even though we would love for it all to get traffic from us and to help us grow this, right now we have the tools and the ability to start to continue to produce great content for you guys and give you guys more access to us than what we're already doing.
We reach a lot of people. Look, if you're listening right now and you're a supplement company, and you want to produce the supplement, you want to put it together, but we can put our input into it and we can look at the quality and test it with a third party, and that's all cool, then hit us up. We're interested. Otherwise, if you already have a supplement and it's got anything in there that we've already talked about or we don't agree with or it's against our philosophy, you know, we're not for sale like that.
Yeah.
We're just not. We're not.
Move along.
We're not hookers in that way.
Yeah.
In other ways, Justin's a hooker.
I hook on the weekends.
He hooks on the weekends.
If they offer me a lot of money, I might have to say yes, bro. But I'll just tell you guys, I just keep it real. But hey, bro, we're getting paid like a motherfucker right now. So even though we don't believe in these supplements, we're going to sell them like we do. Because I'm getting paid like a motherfucker right now.
Do you guys remember back in the day? Do you guys remember, what was it called? Ultimate Orange?
Ultimate Orange?
You guys remember that drink?
Agent Orange?
God damn. See, you guys weren't into supplements as early as I was.
I was early. This just shows your age right here, that you got a couple of years on us, because I was taking the Pinnacle.
Bro, I'm literally one year older than you.
No, like a decade, bro. You have a decade on me.
Bro,
I'm 27. How old are you?
You're 27?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You're 36?
Listen, what year were you born? 81?
Yeah.
I'm 79, bro. We're basically the same
age. I'm 80. There you go.
It's a long time.
I told you I was the penis between us.
You're 1980?
Yeah.
You have the most wrinkled dick, though.
Well,
hey, a lot of shit.
It's the cutest.
A lot of shit can happen in 2 years, bro. A lot of shit can happen in 2 years.
So listen, Ultimate Orange was a supplement. It was Dan Duquesne. You guys don't know who he is either, because whatever. He wrote the Ultimate Guide. It was like the steroid Bible. Anyway, controversial figure. He made this supplement called Ultimate Orange, and when it first came out with it, people were getting crazy gains off of it. And so everybody started buying it, and then all of a sudden nobody made gains anymore. And there was like this big thing, like it used to have steroids in it, because there was, you know, it's not regulated. So well, yeah, they used to say they used to put steroids in them. People were taking and getting all these crazy.
Of course
gains.
He did. I mean, he wants them to succeed.
Yeah, that's those are the rumors. I don't know any of that.
That's the game still. Rumors. Still to this day, that is the game right now. Allegedly. Is that there's you can actually look up all the list of banned steroids, right? And it's crazy because what most of these big companies do is they find that list, right? And let's just say
they'll tweak it a little bit.
Yes, all they have to do is change one little thing in the chemical makeup of that synthetic drug. All they have to do is change one little thing, and it's no longer listed on the banned list. And then they run at it. They sell a fucking bajillion of them because everyone's getting these great results from this almost testosterone supplement. And then what happens is the FDA gets a hold of it. They figure it out. Then they shut it down. But it doesn't matter because by then that company made $10 million off everybody. So
that's true.
It's a brilliant strategy.
Yeah, Gasparri used to sell, I think it was it Halidrol, which was a steroid.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was, and he made a lot of money off of it. So, all right, next question from Matt Star 15. What is our dream car?
Ooh.
Cool question.
Do we have to have one?
I know. Yeah, it depends on what I'm using it for.
Since I could give a shit, I'll go first because I'm going to be quick.
Yeah, since you drive a Jetta, why don't you tell everybody what
I don't really care. I don't really care about cars. I could make $1 billion tomorrow, and I'll probably not give a shit. You know, my favorite car of all time, I used to own a Toyota pickup truck, and I loved it.
Come, bro.
Bro, I could. There,
you know what?
Care less.
He does this every other episode. Every other episode, dude, he has a terrible fucking answer. It always comes
Why
back.
Is it a terrible answer?
At least say it was the Toyota truck from Back to the Future that was all lifted.
Yeah, and, right.
You know, make it somewhat sexy.
I mean, I think they're cool when I look at them.
Cars are fucking sexy and awesome.
Muscle cars. I really love muscle cars. See? Would I ever own one? Probably not, because I don't know how to fix anything in the car and I don't really care. I mean, you know what's funny? You can fucking make all the faces you want over there, Adam. In 20 years, bro, no one's going to own a car anyway, bro. It's all going to be fucking electric. You're going to get on a phone,
an app on your phone.
They're going to pick you up and drop you off.
Even more of a reason why to have one, because it'll be instant classic. It'll be worth fucking 10 times the value because no one has one anymore.
I'd rather ride a horse.
Dude, there's nothing better than fucking.
Can you reach over and punch him in the cock? You're close.
Pow!
Punch his ass in the cock. Dude, bro.
Popped his ball sack.
Keep hey, punching. Matt, it's cool.
God.
Thank God.
Yeah, you're so violent.
Thank God there's two other guys on here that are fucking normal men, bro.
Holy
fucking
shit.
Answer this question.
I'm into fucking horsepower.
Meanwhile, Adam's
smell of exhaust is like my cologne.
Meanwhile, he's got fucking bright orange Daisy Dukes on and shaved legs sticking out.
I can see half his ball sack
hanging out.
Bro,
I'm right across, and it's like,
all right, normal guy, go ahead.
Caution sign.
Yeah, pull your shorts out, bro, because I can see your freaking
caution cone.
Quit staring at my cock, bro.
bro, it's on my foot. How can I not?
Go ahead, Justin. Why don't you share with Matt,
dude?
Some dream cars, bro.
Well, like I've already mentioned that I'm into the classic car genre, but I mean that's just one element, right? Like I would love, besides my truck, I love the big boxy, like old school, like the 50s, you know, generation Chevys. My dad has a 56 Bel Air, and like I like the 57, the 55. I would like a 55. Like fucking with Mickey Thompson, fat fucking tires in the back.
It's all hot rotted out.
Yeah, dude. Oh, what is it? What do they have cubic inch wise now? They have like a 502 or something crate motor.
You
guys are fucking
speaking Chinese.
Awesome.
You might as well be speaking Chinese right now. I don't know what you're talking about.
The torque in that is insane. Anyway, I like drag racing. If anything, actually, I would not mind owning like a funny car and just fucking tearing ass down the quarter mile. It's just like I do in the bedroom.
Is that what you call it? Your funny car?
Yeah, it's a funny car.
So is that,
it makes clown faces.
I don't want to interrupt you.
Clown faces.
That's
my one car though. I'm just warming up.
Yeah, you gotta go with one, dude.
No, you can't just have one, bro.
No, because the thing is, I used to in college, one of my side jobs was a valet. And I used to drive like just what, like ridiculous cars. Like I drove like a Lambo. I drove, you know, a bunch of Porsches, 911s. I really liked the 911s, which
shit car,
I mean, I'm not really into the style of it. It's a little kind of cutesy for me, but it's so the way it handles.
It's one of the best cars.
Changed my whole mind.
Yeah.
It like there was this one hairpin turn where all the
is
valets.
This when you were valeting?
Yeah. All the valets would drive it to this fire road. And then we would flip this fucking fishtail just right around the side. And then you would know based off of like, you know, the handling on that turn, like which ones were legit. And the Porsche, I could never get to slide.
Oh, wow.
It would handle so awesome, dude. It was ridiculous.
Great car.
Yeah, but
it was very responsible.
Yeah, I totally fishtailed a couple of those like Maseratis.
That's
and
every
shit.
Guy who has a nice car.
It was amazing. Dude, guess what?
Worst nightmare.
Guess what? We do that.
Yeah.
Valets do that.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do. So, yeah. You know, mind your parking next time. Anyway.
You won't do that to my Toyota pickup.
Yeah. I don't even step in that. Smell like farts and, you know, old garbage. That's all I can picture in it.
Farts and old garbage. Bro, I didn't have, like, I didn't just lay ass in there and put freaking garbage over it.
Well, what else you do? It's like, just it's nice. Like, so who cares, you know?
No, man, it lasts forever.
I'm going to the dump.
Good gas mileage.
Let's put some shit in the back and, you know.
That's it. You guys officially don't want to be my
friends
anymore.
Anyway, go ahead, Adam. I honestly, like, for a fast car, yeah, I might actually pick a 911 Porsche, like a souped up one or,
And then the 55 Bel Air, you said.
Yeah, actually, I like Cobras, dude. My cousin has one in Ireland, and it was an AC Cobra, so it was on the right hand drive, and he let me drive it.
Is that weird doing that?
Oh, it was really weird. I totally fucked up, but he did the same thing when he was out here. He drove my truck in the wrong lane, and he was like dragging it, and we were laying rubber all the way down, this strip, and then like a car we were. Almost like in a head-on collision because he like forgot to stay in the right lane, so yeah, it was crazy.
So I I'm a huge car fanatic. I love cars, and my theory on cars to blow Sal's stupid theory out the water is that your car
that's
is
stupid theory.
Your car. Is one of those things just like your bed in your room, which is another thing I highly recommend spending good money on, is these are two things that we spend a majority of our fucking lives in, you know? You drive around a car a lot, you know? Even if you're lucky enough to have a job close by, you're in a car a lot of your life. Same thing goes for the bed. And so these type of things I find, you know, this is where I like to spend my money, you know? So people could talk shit all day long that I have three cars and I like to rotate them all and stuff and... Like I'm lucky enough to drive one of my dream cars. So my dream car growing up,
like I said, I love looking at, and I think muscle cars are, and the one that you have, your Camaro, is one of my ultimate favorites. Absolutely.
So and
I wouldn't buy it for myself just because I don't give a shit, but I totally appreciate
it. And I'll admit the hard part about it, which is what you mentioned, because I'm not a gearhead. I don't, as much as I'm into cars, I love cars. It's not one of the things that my pastimes where I wrench away at one. Like I literally don't know shit about them for the most part. As far as getting into fixing and working on them, I know my cars. So I have a 1968 Camaro SS, and it's show ready. So it's all the interior inside is all redone, and
it's sexy.
It's kept to original.
Got my panties wet.
Yeah.
You know, and what's kind of cool is actually that my other dream car was owned, what's his face from the Niners, Bowman. Navarro Bowman owns my dream car, luxury car. And we took, I took my Camaro out and he took his Phantom out. So I love
the Phantoms.
Phantom,
yeah.
Rolls Royce.
Oh, dude.
Is a fucking.
Did you get to go in it?
Yeah, no, I actually didn't get to drive it. But he offered to let me borrow it if I let him borrow the Camaro. So, which I'm a sounded like a great idea considering his car is worth more than
my
car is.
But still,
he's going to hammer yours.
Yeah, exactly.
Your baby.
And you could go buy a Phantom anywhere. You know what I'm saying? As expensive as they are, you could go buy them anywhere. You can't find a 1968 SS that looks just like mine and it's done like mine. You know, that would take years.
Plus, it's the kind of car that if you borrow it, you're going to grind that shit.
Yeah.
You're going to hammer it
and,
out.
And it just can't. I mean, I know my car, all the ins and outs, so I know its limits and what I can do to it before shit starts falling apart. You know, that's the bad part about having having a classic, no matter how badass it is and how badass it's put together, those big ass engines. So I have a 383 stroker and everything's beefed in it. So everything's beefed up. The thing pushes probably, I haven't dynoed it, but it's probably running between 450 and 500 horses. And if you've never driven 400 or 500 horses on an old school, it is a lot different than getting in like a Mercedes that has 500 horses and driving it that you could drive with one finger. When you get on it, you feel every bit of the power. So so my 68 SS, as much of a headache as it is to maintain and keep up, absolutely love it. It was one of the best decisions I ever did because I almost bought one of my other dream cars, which I'm a huge luxury car guy. I love the Mercedes S65, which is the biggest, bossiest Mercedes they make, which that fucker has a V12 in it and gets on it. And
dude, is that the one with the wing doors?
No, that's their sport version, their sport car, which has the same engine in it, yeah. But it's not the big. So this is that engine inside of their luxury car. So it's, you could sit in the back seat and stretch your legs out completely. It's their big body.
Right.
So it gets up on it. Obviously the sport car is, which is the McLaren. That's what it is, right? The Mercedes McLaren. Is that what I believe it is? I'm not really a fan of actually that car. I think it's kind of different looking.
That's a whole nother car.
Anyways, I didn't buy the Mercedes because, at one point in my life I decided, and this is the part where I understand Sal, if I spend that kind of money, it's a lot of money for a nice car like that. Those things depreciate really fast. And why I was so sold on this classic car and going that route is I was like, if you don't know this, like if you get a rare car or a very good classic that's taken well taken care of and a lot of stuff on it original, they typically go up
value
between 6 to 8%. Every time one gets wrecked off the road, they don't make them again. So the value continues to increase.
Yeah.
As time goes by. So the way I looked at it, I was like, okay,
For them increases.
Yes. And so I thought to myself, okay, I could have this badass whip that I don't get a chance to drive as much, isn't as comfortable probably as this sick ass Mercedes would be. But, in 5 years, it'll be worth double what the Mercedes is worth and it'll just continue to go up. And it was the best thing I ever did because I tell you what, like I said, when I was down there with Bowman and we had – and his Rolls-Royce Phantom is fucking dope. Not only is it already a badass car, but then, of course, he has it all blacked out and custom and it's so clean. So it's sick. And we had them both parked next to each other and there's nothing cooler than, getting out of the cars together and people stopping to take pictures of my Camaro and walking right past the Rolls-Royce Phantom, So that's how badass that car is. It's cool to drive it down places, and it's a neck breaker. I've had many, especially old guys. Old guys follow me to gas stations all the time. When I first got it, I was tripping out. I was just like, what the fuck is this dude tailing me for? And he was just waiting for me to pull over or stop somewhere so he could finally catch up to me and be like, that's so badass. Can I see under the hood and this and that? And then you pop the hood and the hood's even, that's the best part of the car when I pop the hood.
Yeah. It's an instant bond, dude. I would get the same thing with my 56 GMC pickup, dude. And when it was running, it was like, dude, everybody lets you in.
Oh yeah.
People want to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they're just rare, right?
It's cool. Yeah. Cause you don't see them on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and then I'm also like Justin, I love the Porsche 911. I also, I love,
and you get flashed.
Right. I am a Ferrari guy too. So, the Ferrari Enzo is a fucking bad whip.
Yeah. It's
a bad whip right there. So, but I love cars, man. I'm into M5s. I'm into all, I like to drive different cars. I love if I was filthy rich, I would have a house large enough to have probably an 8 to 10 car garage, and I'd have a different car for every single day, plus a couple like classics that I rarely drove. That's how much I love cars. I'd like to drive a different car every single day.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Cars, man.
Yeah. Cool.
We just gave each other
Matt,
car boners.
Yeah, yeah. Matt, maybe next week you could ask a question that Sal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, man, exhaust is my cologne.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.